All right. Welcome back to the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your host, and I'm going to start calling myself hostess because I think hostess is the word for a lady host, but it's also like the name of like those like treats, you know what I'm talking about? Like Twinkies, like hostess owned Twinkies, and I think they went away. Anyway, I am your hostess, Aubrey Ebony, and we are broadcasting live from Boutique Fashion Week and Creative Canvas's third event of Fashion Week. It has been a crazy long week of fashion shows, of art, of performances, designers. It's just been a great time. And I am excited because I never get the opportunity to broadcast in front of a crazy big setting like this. If you guys could see what I'm seeing, there are cars here that were specially designed by their drivers here. There are painters. There are people who can paint you live right now. There are designers, as I said before, because of course this is a fashion show. There are singers, rappers, other creatives, and then there's me, right? So I'm really looking forward to having some really amazing interviews. I know you guys are gonna love them. It's gonna be a really good time. So please stay tuned and check in. All right, so I have Trey here, and he is a part of the Pretty Fly Society team that is one of the big components of the Boutique Fashion Week show that is going on right now. So Trey, introduce yourself. Tell me a little bit about who you are, what you do.
So this is your boy, Trey Bryant. I am a menswear specialist. I also help men be the best version of themselves, an image consultant, and I build a brand. I'm a YouTuber as well.
Okay. And so what does your YouTube consist of?
My YouTube kind of consists of pretty much content just to help men, specifically black men, just be better. Teaching them how to talk to girls, teaching them how to dress, teaching them just to be the ultimate gentleman.
Okay. So you teach men how to talk to girls, right?
I do.
So tell me one tip a guy needs to know when talking to a female.
When talking to him? Well, I tell him the best one is on the first date, she should never touch a door handle at all.
All right. I like that. That's very chivalry. Chivalry. Say that word for me.
Chivalry?
Chivalry is intense.
To be chivalrous.
Chivalrous. I hate that. How do you spell that? C-H.
Ooh, I ain't trying to do that. I ain't trying to sound slow now.
No, it's okay. I appreciate it. And so what are your goals? Like, what do you plan to do in the future? Do you plan on doing this for a long time? Like, what do you want to be in 5 years?
In 5 years, I want to kind of have something bigger. Like, something more of like a setup of like Steve Harvey. But specifically starting out just for us, because you don't really see any black males when they get up there. They're not representing just black males. You have things where you have women that are representing things as far as to like, oh, you know, sis, you know, the girl power, black girl magic campaign. But you don't really have anything like specifically for black men of all types of colors. And so that's kind of what I want to represent and be able to grow and create a community. Community is very important.
I agree. You know what? Today's the last day of Black History Month.
It is.
That's epic. So, you know, I love the idea of having something for us and keeping it within us. And not that it's an issue to expand outside of us, but I think having something strong within us, that supports our youth, that supports our men is important. So I want to thank you so much for that. I think that's amazing. Is there anything you want to say to the audience before you get out of here?
Man, I just want to say y'all follow me on YouTube and Instagram at Trey Bryant. That is TreyBryant.
All right. We'll be right back with the next guest. All right, so our second guest right now, today at Boutique Fashion Week, the last day, right?
Last day!
Is Molly of Molly World Casting.
Yay!
Molly, how did you get into the casting world?
So, I started off as a director.
Okay.
Directing music videos and like short films and stuff. Here in Atlanta.
Okay.
When I was 15 years old.
Oh my God.
Started getting paid to do that when I was like 18 years old.
Okay.
Then I started casting when I was either 19 or 20 years old, right after I met Showout, who's the owner of So Official, which is a marketing, branding, and multimedia company.
Okay.
And he wanted me to be the face of the company, so now I'm the COO of the company.
Let him know, sis.
And started casting, you know?
Yes.
Lit. So I'm the casting director of it as well.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. So what is the hardest thing about being a casting director? Your time.
Not reliable people.
Yeah.
Having not reliable people. I feel like that's the worst because they don't realize it's not just on them, it's also on you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If they don't show up, it's just bad for them, but it's also bad on me.
Yeah, it looks bad.
Our company,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, no, I get that. And Atlanta, I can imagine, has a couple of people here and there that are not
professional. There's a lot of unreliable people just because of the fact people are spoiled out here, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree with that.
People are like, there's so many opportunities that people are like, oh, I don't go to this one, I can go to the next one.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. What would you say is the best thing about being a casting director?
Helping people chase their dreams. I love putting money in people's bank accounts.
Yes, you're always about that.
You know, I love paying people. I love having somebody like be like, oh, you just helped me get closer to my dream.
Yeah.
Or got them, get them assigned to something or get them on that dream billboard, you know?
Yeah, no.
So that's awesome.
You're amazing. Molly's amazing, guys. Like, for those of you who have not heard of her, you have now heard of her. She is amazing. Molly, if there's one tip to somebody wanting to get in the industry, whether it's, you know, music videos or whether it's acting, what are some tips or one good tip that you would give to somebody wanting to get in the industry?
Invest in yourself.
Okay.
Invest in yourself.
Yes.
How do you expect somebody to pay you if you don't even pay yourself?
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely getting professional pictures is a plus, is a number one. Yeah. I can't even submit you. If you don't have professional pictures.
Yep. Say it again, one more time for the people.
If you don't have professional pictures, I cannot submit you. Because I'm submitting you with other people that have professional pictures.
Yeah.
So there's no point in submitting if you don't.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, Molly, you're amazing. Any last thing you want to say before we tap out? Where can they follow you?
Oh, yeah. So what's up, you guys? follow me at Molly Royal Casting or @StoOfficialCasting_. Also, if you have kids, I also cast kids. I'm looking for a lot of kids right now for a lot of major projects.
Bring the little ones out.
A lot of projects. So if your kids are talented, if they're a rapper, singer, can dance, know how to work the camera, follow @StoOfficialKids on Instagram as well.
All right. Thank you so much, Molly. You're amazing. And I will see you around, all right?
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Bill. All right, so I wish you guys were here in person to see my next guest because she is gorgeous. Like, literally absolutely stunning. Like, she could probably be, like, prom queen if she was in high school right now. She's that gorgeous. So I have Rochelle here. She is a founder and creator of Pink Lemonade, and you are from Barbados,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am. Born and raised.
And she has this cute accent. So just tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get into the fashion world?
I've been designing from about 2010. I always really liked fashion. I'm a self-taught designer. And I just kind of decided one day I want to do a clothing line. I bought a sewing machine, didn't even know how to thread it. My landlady at the time, she showed me how to do that, and I kind of figured it out. And then everything else is, you know, reading, buying books, University of YouTube.
Yeah.
And it kind of just went from there.
No, that's amazing. So, like, you didn't even know how to sew when you bought your first sewing machine.
No,
Your landlady taught you how to do it.
Oh, to thread it. Oh, to at least thread it.
Yeah, how to thread it.
Yes, because I didn't kind of figure out how to thread it on my own. Yes.
And you just took it from there.
Yeah, I took it from there.
So why Pink Lemonade? Why that name?
I wanted something that was, you know, tropical. Barbados is warm, like basically every day, even when it's rainy, it's still warm. So I wanted something that just reminds you of I'm on vacation, like I'm relaxing, I'm drinking alcoholic or non-alcoholic if you choose.
Yes.
You know, pink lemonade drink or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I love that. Does you being from Barbados have any influence on your pink lemonade line?
Definitely. So I consider my line resort wear. So everything is, I consider it try to be like easy clothing, like something you literally just put on and it's effortless and you look amazing without it having to be too many zips, too many buttons. It's just something you just put on and you just look ready to go.
I love that. I feel like women, we always have so many components, the shoes, the pants, this.
Yeah.
And you're just making it simple by like just put it on and go.
Yeah. That's the idea.
I love that. What are your goals for your clothing line? Like, where do you see yourself in your clothing line in, like, 5-10 years?
So, we could talk about 2020. So, first quarter, my goal is to have an online platform where people could purchase. So, yes, you could purchase from me online, but it's usually via email through my website, which is pinklemonadebyrp.com. But at this point, I actually want it to be, like, have the e-commerce aspect of it set up.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to get into the U.S. market, so hence why I'm here all the way in Atlanta, two flights.
I love it.
Yeah, to be here, just trying to get into a different market, you know. That's the only way to do it. Yes, Instagram is there, but it's still not the same as actually people meeting
person,
you.
Seeing your
you know,
clothes.
Yeah, yes. You know, interactive view, you know. I think being a representation of my own brand definitely helps. And in person obviously helps versus, you know, social media. So that's just been my goal in terms of trying to show and meet different people outside of Barbados.
No, I love it. I mean, you look great, and what you're wearing right now is Pink Lemonade, right?
Yes.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
So if you could style one celebrity, who would that celebrity be?
I know it's cliche, but I have to say Rihanna. I would have a few. I like Rihanna, probably. She's from Barbados. I love Zendaya.
Okay.
I like her style.
I love Zendaya.
I'm trying to think who else dresses in that very easygoing Those are the two for sure I can think of, just based on their personal style. Yeah.
Okay. No, I like that. I love Zendaya. She has a great style. Yeah. I mean, like a great like style. Whoever's behind her styling is great. Rihanna's a fashion icon in herself. Yeah. So I would love to see Pink Lemonade on either one of those ladies. Yeah. I know that they would rock it. I know they rock it. Could you ever see yourself getting into menswear, or do you think that
I'm trying to work on some shorts. I've toyed with the idea of doing like button down shirts, but in terms of like the quality was good, but in terms of the fabric, I wasn't finding fabrics that I really liked, so I didn't want to pursue something that I wasn't really that confident in terms of, you know, just being able to give consistently nice fabric. So the make of it was good, but in terms of the fabric, I wasn't so much of a fan of what was available, because obviously I source fabric from Barbados.
Right.
So I've been working on trying to develop maybe some shorts, that's a little easier in terms of, you know, the quality of fabric and the different prints and different things they have. So that is second quarter goals of trying to have, you know, shorts for summer.
For the men.
Yeah, for summer. Yeah.
No, I love that. That's a great goal, and I support you. Anything I can do, let me know what I can do to help you. Help me.
Of course, yes.
All right, Rochelle, anything else you want to say before I let you go? I know you have some stuff to do.
Other than just check out my Instagram, which is Pink Lemonade by RP. And once again, my website, www.pinklemonadebyrp.com. And shoot me a question. Shoot me. I ship overseas. I have PayPal. Like, if you need something, we can make it work. My designs are custom made. So if you see something and you like it, but you're like, oh, I don't want to wear something with such a low V, that's fine. I adjust, like, you know, necklines. I make it a little longer.
If you're
modest, so that's fine. Right. I don't pigeonhole people in terms. I mean, you have to wear my design, but I don't pigeonhole people in terms of it has to be a low V or it has to be that short. I have no problem adjusting length and necklines.
So I think I'm honored enough to get a design from you, right?
Yes, you are.
So tell me what this design is. What is this dress?
I call it the Dreamy Maxi. It's a maxi dress. And when you look at it, it just kind of looks pretty like a rectangle, but it has like a inseam which kind of shapes your body. So it does,
I can be sexy.
Yes, you can. Okay, you definitely can be.
And it's purple, right?
Yes, it is purple.
I'm excited. I don't wear much purple.
So but it looks good on your skin tone, definitely. Right, you should wear more purple.
I'm going to wear more purple.
Yes, yes.
You guys get at her for all of your needs, and she's amazing. She's beautiful, super talented. I cannot wait for you guys to check out her design. Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you,
Pink Lemonade.
Yes,
and I'll see you soon.
Yes.
All right. All right, my amazing listeners. Next up, I have the amazing designer, creator behind the brand Layol, and we have Kiana Brown. How are you today?
Hello, how are you?
I'm excited to have you here because I've never met a designer from the DMV area.
Okay.
So I love your style. Tell me what influences your style or your line.
What influence and the creativity of my brand is just being who you are, being self-sufficient, knowing your own truth, knowing your own worth, male, woman, whatever gender you are. So what I do is I take abstract contrast and I blend all together. It's like a canvas. Like you have your blank canvas and you paint. Okay. My clothes is my canvas, and whatever the fabric is the paint.
I love that. That's amazing. That's very like artistic. Like, I've never heard anybody describe clothing that way. You just gave it to me in like a creative art painting kind of way. I love that. I love that. If there's one celebrity you could style, who would that celebrity be?
So one celebrity that I would style. That was a great question.
Yeah, people have different, you know, goals and like who they want to put their clothing on, different visions.
So I do men and women.
Okay, yes.
So I would love to have Teyana Taylor.
I can see that.
On the women.
I can see it.
And the men, Pharrell Williams.
Yes, 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 yes. If you guys can see her clothing, and you will see her clothing because you will check out her social media after this podcast session. But like, her clothing is so Pharrell. Like, it's so Outkast. Is that the same realm? Yes, look at me. I'm learning.
Yes.
I'm learning. I'm usually not good at style. I'm very basic pattern. I match all the colors. I'm not fun. You're fun. This is fun. What you have on is
thank you.
Fun. No, it's super fun. How long have you been into clothing?
So I've always been into some type of clothing since I started younger. If you actually go to my website, it tells you a bio about myself. So I actually started at 9. So I started making t-shirts.
Super young.
Yeah, I started sketching at the age of 9.
Wow.
And then I started making my own clothes because I had a very abstract mind.
Yeah.
And then I started working at clothing stores and stuff like that. So I actually started designing in 2015. I apologize. So in 2015.
Okay.
So it's almost close to 5 years in July. So I actually started from scratch. I don't have any type of background and
no education or none of that.
No education.
You just kind of went for it.
Just went for it.
But like the gift of God.
I just know that that's what I'm like, I love clothes.
Yeah.
No, when you love clothes and you love the way it looks on people.
Yeah.
It's like a food addiction. But you know, if you like something and you have a foodgasm.
Yep. Same thing, you have a clothing-gasm, cloth-gasm.
How do you say that?
Cloth-gasm. Right? Cloth, I don't know, I feel like I'm saying that weird. No, I love that, I love that.
Fashion-gasm?
Like fashion-gasm, let's go with that, I like that.
Okay.
Put that on a shirt or something.
That'll be
fashion-gasm.
Dope.
Yeah, look at that, you heard it here first. What would you say is the hardest thing about being a designer, a stylist, a creative? What is the hardest part about your process?
It's actually knowing your brand. Like, because you can go in gay, guns blazing, but if you don't know your aesthetic, don't know who your audience is,
yeah,
it'll be difficult because you're not going to know who the audience gravitates, who the people gravitate to.
Yeah.
So you got to know your brand.
Yeah. That's important. No, that's dead on. I feel like sometimes when people create clothing companies and clothing line, they don't have a direct idea of their audience, their target market.
Yes.
They just want to create. But you're saying it's so important to understand your brand and like your target audience, so you know who's buying your stuff.
Yes. That's so they love what you love.
Exactly. That makes complete sense. You're amazing, Kiana.
Thank you.
Seriously, no, you're amazing. Any last thing you want to say before I let you go?
I just want to say my motto is be you, be Leo. That means be loyal to yourself.
Yes.
Please keep that consistent.
Layol.
Yes.
And spell that for the people in the back.
It's Layol.
And where can they follow you on Instagram and check you out on your website?
Okay, so my IG is layol.loyal. That's layol.loyal. You can actually go to my website. My website is www.layol.co. That's co, not com. CO.
Kiana, you are more than amazing. Thank you so much, and I was super excited to see your designs, and I will see you around.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
I'm happy. All right, so my next beautiful, sparkly guest here is Olympia, and she is an amazing makeup artist. She's actually one of the head makeup artists of Boutique Fashion Week, right?
Yes.
Let me tell you guys, when I first saw her, which I think was Wednesday, she had on this like sequins blue, green, like push up. Her hair is like area red. She's super light skin.
Like
I was like, this
mermaid.
Girl looks like the Little Mermaid. I loved it. I loved it. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How did you get into makeup?
So I've always been in makeup. Love makeup. Such a girly girl.
Yeah.
I swear, we used to have fights because it takes me so long to get ready for school. So makeup has always been my passion. I was an artsy kid. So that's where it started. Like,
yeah.
And I always was big on just looking good when I went out. I wanted to be my best.
Yeah. Tell me, what are some of the main makeup brands you use in your kit?
Oh, my God. I use everybody.
Really?
So most professional makeup artists, we use everybody. But my favorite would be Benai.
Benai.
Yes.
Great Benai. Brand.
It is. It's like top of the line. And that makeup doesn't go anywhere.
Really?
It will absorb in the skin. But the more it absorbs, the better it looks.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I've seen the product. And so it's an amazing brand. And I have to see some of your work with Benai so I can really put the visual together.
Mm-hmm.
If you could do one celebrity's makeup, like, who would it be? If you could do one celebrity's makeup.
Oh, my goodness.
Pick one. Just one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You said celebrity?
Celebrity. One celebrity.
Oh, my God.
Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on.
I can't think of anybody.
Not one?
I will say Lisa Ray.
Lisa Ray.
Yeah.
I would not have expected that. You know, can I tell you a secret? So my dad dated Lisa Ray for like a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So I don't have the best vision of her right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. What would you say is your favorite thing about being a makeup artist?
The reaction that I get once a client sees their face, like the before and after, and I just love the whole after effect when they're just like, oh my God, is that really me?
I know.
Like, I love that.
Making people feel beautiful.
Yes.
No, I can imagine. I remember when I first got my makeup done, I felt like such a different person. You know, like you're like, who am I? Like, of course, it's unbelievable sometimes what makeup can do.
Right.
All right, if you had to choose one style of makeup to do for the rest of your life, would it be either prom or weddings?
weddings.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are weddings easier than prom, or you just like...
It's really almost the same.
Really? I feel like the girls...
Because they're both glam.
Okay.
They're both glam. Okay. Well, I take that back. I'm so sorry. They're not both glam.
Okay.
Wedding will be a little bit more softer than prom. Because prom is more glam.
Like, prom want to go out. Like, I'm grown.
Right.
And so, weddings are a little more...
Yeah, because prom, you can do glitter.
That's true. You can do glitter at weddings. Not many people
I would suggest it.
Okay.
I mean, you can do it.
Okay.
But I'm more of a simple person, so I like clean makeup.
Yeah.
So if it's a wedding, I still want you to be classy and pretty all at the same time.
I love that. Olympia, tell them where they can find you on social media.
So my IG would be makeup, but it's makeup without the E. So it's MAKUP_goddess, GODDESS _studio.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Any last things you want to say before you hop off?
I just appreciate everybody.
No, you're amazing. Thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Thank you.
All right, so I now have this amazing and talented artist who goes by the name of Q Monet. Q Monet, say hi to the people.
Hi to the people.
Thank you so much for that very literal response. Q Monet, tell me about your art. Like, you guys, if you see her art right now, like, it is bright, it's colorful, it's very psychedelic. It reminds you of, like tie-dye in, like, the 70s. Like, that's the energy it gives, that very, like, psychedelic, fun, creative, bright vibe. So tell me, what inspires your art?
What inspires my art is spirit. I just go off of what spirit gives me, my intuition. I mean, really, that's really what it is. A lot of people think I be on drugs when I'm doing my
it
art.
It does look like it's straight up shrooms or acid, but...
But nah, it's just... That's just... I love the vibrant colors and the neon look because it sticks out. And I'm about the... The colors that clash together to create a energy that will draw you in.
Yeah.
And just the images that I put on my art, it invokes thought.
It invokes thought.
Pretty much.
I definitely see that. Like, it definitely keeps you thinking. Like, if you were to sit there and stare at it, guys, it's that kind of piece that you want to understand. So I get 100% what you're saying. If you could have your art stored in one place... Well, let me not say that. If you could put your artwork, display your artwork in one place, where would it be?
Definitely in New York.
Okay.
You know, or some, like, honestly, you know what? Never mind. Let me scratch that.
Okay, scratch it.
Probably somewhere in, like, Tokyo or somewhere like that because they love the neon.
Yeah.
They love that type of vibe. So they would definitely get my art. A lot of people don't get my art and, you know, it's hard to be at different shows where they have other types of artwork, like African art. Even though I'm a black woman, I don't paint black art. I just paint from my spirit, you know? And so I just want people to look at it and be able to relate to it, but most people don't.
No,
so.
I get that. Art is like one of those things where I think the term is art is subjective, right? Like, you have your own interpretation of it.
Exactly.
Like, for me, you know, everything here is okay, but when I saw yours, I was like, yo, like this is it. Like, I can see it, like, in movies, like college dorms, like when they put, like, it's that kind of piece. It's that stoner. It's that, like, rebel. Like, that's what I see when I see it. And so, like,
definitely.
The moment I saw it, I was like, yo, this is dope. Like, what is this? Who is this? So I see it. If you could give a piece of your artwork to one celebrity, who would it be?
Definitely Erykah Badu.
Yes! The vibes! The vibes.
Definitely Erykah Badu. Because my work, it invokes a certain thing. Like, I want people to look at my work like... A lot of people ask me, what does it mean? And I can't tell you what it means because spirit and intuition is downloaded into me to create what I create.
Yes.
And that's it. Other than that, I really can't tell you. I mean, I just go by what spirit tells me to do.
No, I love that. If you could give inspiration to students out there, to kids out there who are wanting to be an artist, but because people don't get their art, they're thinking about quitting. What would you tell those people, these young people that are out trying to create something that people don't get?
I would say don't worry about what other people think, because at one point my mom didn't even want me to do art, even though she knew I was talented. She knew I was smart as well, mm-hmm. and she wanted me to go to college to be some type of, I don't know what else, but yeah, all I ever different. Wanted to be was an artist.
Yeah.
So I say just keep going. Don't worry about what other people say, regardless of what type of influence they have over your life.
Yep.
Just keep going by what you're feeling like your insides are telling you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I do. And that's what I've been doing. Like, I quit jobs.
Really?
to do what I wanted to do.
That's dedication. That's what you're going
to
do.
It was scary, but I did it. Because Spirit was telling me to do it. Some people are put here to do this.
Yeah, I agree.
You were born to do this. Mm-hmm. To give people light. On certain things, no matter what it is.
Yes.
And I was put here to heal people through my art. So
I love that. That's so like my heart felt that. My heart felt that you were being genuine.
I'm very genuine about that.
Kimane,
I'm struggling right now.
Where can I find you on social media? Where can I find you online? Where can I find your work?
Well, anywhere you can find me, it'll say Q Monet. But if you go on my Instagram, you can go Q_MONEA.
One more time.
Q_MONEA.
All right.
And even on Facebook, same thing. Q Monet. It's no underscore, I don't think. No.
She don't think. Well, you guys will figure it out when you Google it. And you better Google it. You better look into it, because her art is fire. Thank you so much, Q Monet, for doing this.
Thank you for helping me and speaking with me today.
No problem. Keep doing you, boo. Keep doing you.
I got you.
All right, guys. So I am here with three amazing, beautiful, talented models from Boutique Fashion Week. And I am so happy to have them here, because they give the perspective of the show that I'm not able to get, that everybody else that comes to my podcast is not able to get, because they actually walked in the show. They came to rehearsals. They auditioned. And so I have here Xavier.
Hi.
Allie.
Hello.
And Asha.
Hello.
Okay, so I'm going to let them take it away. So you're going to hear me ask my question from a distance, and then they're going to go ahead and answer it, whoever I point to. So we're just going to rock it out. You guys ready?
Yes.
All right. So why did you want to audition for this fashion show?
When did I audition?
Why did you want to audition?
I wanted to audition because I wanted to be surrounded by people who understand the business.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is very important, to be surrounded by people who are already in the business and who want to help you and groom you and just shape you so you know like what you're getting yourself into.
Yes. So this is something you plan on doing for a long time.
About 2 years. Yes.
For 2 years. And then what? And then you're done with it?
I've been doing this for 2 years.
Okay.
So I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Okay, I thought you said you only wanted to do it for 2 years.
Oh, no.
You want to do this for the rest of your life.
Yes.
I love it. Okay, cool. What has been the hardest part about being in this fashion show?
The hardest part about being in this fashion show was kind of looking at the other models that are in the show and kind of realizing that you're different, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but some people came here signed and some people came here not signed, as in myself. So I feel like the biggest thing is like to not compare yourself to other people, because I know I'd look at other people's walks and be like, I love their walk, I wish my walk looked like that. But you can't really do that, because obviously they picked you yourself for a reason.
Yeah.
So that's been the hardest part, but I've slowly gotten over it as the show practices have progressed. So yeah.
No, that is an amazing point. Like, it can be hard. There's a lot of beautiful people here, right? And then you look at the person next to you and you do that comparing thing. But you're gorgeous, right?
Yes.
Like, she's gorgeous. So, you know, don't get frustrated that you're not signed. Everything is a journey. And this is just a step along your journey.
Mm-hmm.
So please know that. Please believe that.
Yes, ma'am.
Asha.
Yes.
Who has been your favorite designer to work for so far, and why?
Oh, my God. So honestly, I only got to walk for one designer, which is not a problem at all. But if I had to pick the one that I wish I was able to walk for, I would pick the Christian Collection. I loved his garments. I loved his pieces. I thought that they were very different, and they were some garments that I've never seen before. The suits, the collection on his suits, the fabric, the pattern, exquisite. I just wanted some of those custom pieces for myself, because I knew that those would be some really nice pieces to walk around in, whether you want to go to work, whether you want to walk downtown, all of the above. They're wonderful pieces for that.
You know what? I am really impressed by your answer. Like, you should have been in New York Fashion Week describing clothing, because the way you just put that together was unbelievable. I thought you were going to say, oh, I like them because it was like whatever. But like, no, you had a whole breakdown. Like,
yes.
That shows, like, you guys are in this. Like, whether it's from a business perspective, a personal growth perspective, or for the fashion.
Yes.
Like, all three of you are perfect people to have on this podcast because you are in this. I love that.
Thank you.
Zendaya and Rihanna.
Yes.
Rihanna!
Yes. I agree.
Rihanna is my mother.
Yes. I honestly love Zendaya. I feel like how she, the pieces that she wears, they're very exquisite, but they're very tasteful as well. And those are clothes that I would wear on a normal basis. Or if I want to go to like a really nice gala, like she wears them with class. And I love that. Yeah. So I would agree with that one.
Probably for me, my top two would be Rihanna, because I love Rihanna, and Naomi Campbell. Those two specifically, because I feel like when they do something, they don't think about other people's opinions. Yeah. They do it for themselves, yeah. And the media accepts them because it's like the confidence that they exude makes you like, oh yeah, they know what they're doing. That looks good, regardless of what they're wearing.
Yes. Yeah, I agree with those.
Alexander McQueen.
Oh my God. Yes.
That is a design.
Yes. Okay.
Like, his pieces are so iconic. Like, 80s, 90s, Alexander McQueen is everything to me. And I...
Yeah?
One day. No.
One day.
I would say, back to Rihanna, her new, her lingerie line, because I feel like it really broke standards of, like, including everybody. And so that's iconic part of history, and I would love to be a part of that.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go a little new school with this one. I'm going to go with Laquan Smith. I love how his pieces are, God, like, the last line that he just came out with. I love the bubble coats that, and the outfits that he had with those. But they're very edgy, but at the same time, he's like, but I'm still true to myself. So I, new school wise, I would go with Laquan Smith. He dares to really like surpass expectations, and he exceeds my expectations every time he comes out with something. Every time. I'd go out with him, for sure.
You guys have the best freaking answers. That was amazing. Like, I could not have picked three random people, not random, but I could not have picked three better people. Everybody, where they can find you on social media.
Yes. Okay, so my Instagram is model_AjaFagan. That's spelled AzjahFagan.
My Instagram is DamAllyXO, DamAllyXO.
You can find me on Instagram, Xavier, period, Moscova, and it's spelled MOSCOVA.
Guys, you guys were so amazing. Thank you so much for doing this. Before you guys go, I'm just going to say 1, 2, 3 and just say Boutique Fashion Week, all right?
Okay.
All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
Boutique Fashion Week!
Thank you guys so much. That was amazing. All right, guys, I know it's been a long night, but I just wanted to say hi and hello to one of my favorite models here at the show, Shekinah.
Hello.
She's gorgeous. She has the bald head, the Wakanda Forever vibe. And I'm so here for it.
Thank you.
And I've been wanting to do the Wakanda Forever bald head thing for a while. Like, it's beautiful. Anyway, it's not about me. This is about Shekinah. So, Shekinah, tell me, how has your experience been doing this fashion show?
My experience has been amazing. It's been a fashion week that has been eventful. This is the first fashion week that I have ever been to.
Really?
That has fashion, yes. Art, yes. Automobiles, yes. You name it. It's been amazing.
That's awesome. What got you into wanting to be a model?
To show girls that models come in all shapes and sizes.
Yes.
Everybody feels like models are perfect. I'm totally opposite. I have braces. I have a bald head. I have stretch marks. I have a little gut.
Tell them, sis.
You know, so while I'm working on myself, flaws and all, unapologetically, I want girls to see me, take the world, and get on top.
Yes, that's girl power. That is exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I love that. Where can they follow you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at _1awesomeher.
Spell that for the people who don't know how to spell.
That's _1awesome, AwesomeHer. I am all that.
Yes, she is all that and a bag of chips, y'all, with a little hot sauce. If you need more flavor. sorry. Mess that up. But thank you so much for being a part of this podcast. You were beautiful in the show. So happy to have you here. And I'm glad we met.
Yes,
like, you're gorgeous.
Honor.
And I'm going to go bald in honor and inspiration of you. But when the time is right, you got to be there with me when we do it, okay?
You're amazing.
You got to hold my hand.
I got you, girl. I'll cut it for you.
Yes, okay. I'm going to take you up on that. All right, so now I have one of the male models of the show, Tafari. Do you go by Fari or just Tafari? Which would you, like, what do you prefer?
Tafari's fine.
Tafari's
fine. Yeah, but I go by Fari. It's a lot easier for Americans, you know.
Americans. It's a lot easier for us Americans to figure this out. All right, Fari. So what was it like being a male in this fashion show?
It was very different, especially being one of the shorter males.
Okay. How tall are you? Just so the people know, like, what are you capable of in this world right now?
For the females, 5'4". Everybody else, 5'3". So,
okay. All right.
My doctor knows.
That's okay. That's okay. But so how was this being a male, you know, being 5'4", well, walking in this fashion show, boutique fashion week?
It was very educational. It was a learning experience. It was very new. It was exhilarating. It made me feel special because there's not a lot of males, maybe about 12 of us.
Yeah.
So a lot of attention. But it was very, very engaging.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very engaging.
No, I saw you walk and like you did fire. Like your walk is good. No, I mean, I wanted you to be in the show from the moment I first saw you. So I'm happy you did it. And then it's funny because you weren't always casted in the show, right?
No.
So what happened? Like you weren't and then you weren't. What ended up switching?
So long story short, I was put in the show. I accepted the model, but I wasn't accepted by any designers. So I was in the show, but I wasn't actually in the show. Then some designers wanted to work with me, took me off the list, took me on the list. Some of them wanted stuff I didn't bring. They didn't send me what I needed. But, you know, just persistence. Anyone that wants to do this or do anything, be a bug, be a pest, be a nuisance. And you know what? It's better to say, I'm sorry, to say, oh, I'm sorry to yourself, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
Say sorry to the person that you did do it.
Yeah.
Sorry you either wore that outfit, sorry you know, decided to color your hair, sorry you decided to, you know, whatever. Be annoying. I had to annoy this one guy 7 times. I asked him 7 different times. He counted to be in the show. The first time I met him, just told him, I want to be on your show. I want to wear your clothes. And he finally gave up and said, all right, bro, I got some shorts for you to wear. They don't fit. You ain't got a shirt, but I got some shorts. You want to wear them? And that was it.
I love it, man. Fire, you are dedicated to this craft. Like, this is what you really want to do, right?
It is, yes.
I love it. You guys, you should
help people in fitness.
And no, Fire is pretty fit. Like, when you go check out his social media, check him out. He's pretty fit. He's a fitness trainer as well. You do that on the side, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. Where can I follow you at on social media?
You can follow me at Follow Fari. That's Follow, F-O-L-L-O-W, Fari, F-A-R-I-I. I got 2 eyes because I see you, you see me. I see all those followers. Yeah. Special.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for being a part of my podcast.
Thank you so much.
No problem.
Miss Ebony, oh, you look best. I call her Miss Ebony like she's somebody auntie, that fine auntie at the barbecue.
My God, cut it out. Get out of here. You're so charming. All right, so now we have one of the main men behind this extravagant plan. We have Frank here, who is the owner and CEO of Pretty Fly Society. Frank, what is Pretty Fly Society?
Thank you, Ari, first off, for having me on your podcast. Thank you very much for being awesome and working with us all week during Boutique Fashion Week.
You're welcome.
I know you're working, but you've been working with us, so she's just as awesome as she's expressing that we are. But my role in Pretty Fly Society, honestly, is to serve the people.
Okay.
At this point, if you notice, everyone around me has a skill or a passion, something that they want to go after, and they spend a lot of time trying to attain it from someone else. I always like to tell my people to look inward. So the star Angelo, my brother, you know what I mean? Look within, the actor from within, and then that develops into this. These artists, these designers, a lot of them don't really, I don't want to say believe in themselves, but it just becomes difficult, you know what I mean? It's real out here. So I just try to spend a lot of my time providing inspiration, real inspiration, and then I give the effort back in how I put my events together.
No, I love that. That's beautiful. And this event was amazing. Like, seriously, from Whiskey Wednesday to today, like, it's been amazing.
Thank you.
What encouraged you or inspired you to create Pretty Fly Society?
I guess, you know, when you're young and you're growing up, there's that opportunity and trying to fit into everyone else's clique when you're young. You know what I mean? You get pushed around, you get pushed off because maybe you don't look the best or maybe you don't dress the best. And in high school and middle school, everyone thinks they know every fucking thing. So they're just being rude. But then you grow up and you realize, oh, y'all don't know nothing.
Yeah.
Half of y'all are still where you were when you were talking bad about me. And me thinking that the world was bigger than the little area that I was in, it didn't make me crazy. It just made y'all scared to dream.
Yeah.
So what took place was I got tired of being second place, and I got tired of people telling other people what they couldn't do. So because of that, I said I'd take it amongst myself, and every time someone tell me that I couldn't do something, I would just go do it. So we did a movie premiere. Oh, you'll never be in the movies. Cool. Not only was I in the movie premiere, but I paid for the theater.
Let them know.
And we was in the marquee as well. So just bringing everything that's in my mind to life, I'm going to continue to do it until I die, for sure.
No, I love that. No, that's inspirational. Like, I hope you guys are hearing this and hearing what's capable from being, quote unquote, an outsider to creating your own and making it happen to where, like, people are wanting to be like you now. And it's not even about that. It's doing you and being you to the best of your ability to create something as inspiring as Pretty Fly Society.
Thank you.
Yes, dope. So, Frank, does your daughter have any role? Does she play any role in the mission of Pretty Fly Society? Like, what is...
Actually, I guess it's more her role is in the mission of life and my life is a legacy.
Okay.
So my daughter works for us. She did all the check-ins with everybody. She signed things, did their plus ones. So everyone that talked with her, she's been doing it for the past 3 years, but this is the best she's done.
Wow.
Because she was comfortable, and I put her on the spot during Fashion Week. It was like, okay, now they're going to be looking for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't be shy in this world. You got to step out there, and don't be worried about what people think of you, sweetheart. Make the most, especially being a black woman. You know what I mean? And I know you feel me on that.
Yeah.
So I'm prepping her to be strong out here. I'm not prepping her to be weak or dumb or none of that.
I love that. No, and we need that. You know, it's hard sometimes for black women. Like, we have one of the biggest burdens, and I don't even want to get into political stuff.
I understand.
But I love what you're doing. So
Thank
in the future,
you.
Do you see daddy-daughter shows, daddy-daughter events?
I see whatever makes her happy.
Yes.
I know that she's not going to work for anyone else because she doesn't see her father do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm showing her what it takes, even the good and the bad.
Yeah.
So I'm allow her to make a decision to be whatever she would like to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm damn sure going to continue to bring her around this as much as I can and influence her as much as I can. Yeah.
No, that's epic. Okay, so what are one of the main goals for Pretty Fly Society? What do you want to accomplish, that bigger picture?
Honestly, if I could be honest with you, I'm on some Malcolm and Martin type shit. Pretty Fly Society is like water. It can encompass anything. So it can be eventually be clothes, which we already done a little bit.
Yeah.
There's a bespoke menswear line, which is called The Mill, which is inside Pretty Fly Society.
Okay.
There's our talent management department, which handles Angelo Diaz, Sean Alton. Let me see who else. Letizia Weaver, which is not a designer. She's a producer, filmmaker out of Oakland, California.
Okay.
So... as a collective, I'm just looking for hungry people who are willing to really put the work in and work with me. And if you work with me, I'll put something together around you. You'll never forget.
No, that's awesome, man. Like, I really, like, I can see you being an inspiration, and I'm sure you are an inspiration to, like, younger people. Like, I can really see the youth looking at you as, like, yo, this is somebody I want to be like a huge inspiration. Like,
Thank you.
Love that. Do you have any aspirations to do things like that, like, in the community and, you know, for the youth? Sorry about the sound.
It's all good.
For, like, the young black men, like, does Pretty Fly Society see itself doing something like that?
We actually, so in May, we're partnering with Black Menswear. If you check them out, at Black Menswear, over 200,000 followers. We used to do these flash mobs back in the day where all the young men would come dressed in suits, dressed to the nines. My man Black Menswear took that to a whole nother level, and they're coming to Atlanta on May 2nd. So what we're going to do is create a Dapper Weekend. It'll be basically the same energy, but it'll just be suits. Everybody will be dressed a little bit nicer, and we'll create events based around that. So nice brunches, things, so on and so forth.
Yeah, no, we need more events like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure you travel a lot. I travel
yeah,
a lot
for sure.
Myself.
You sure do.
and here in Atlanta, we're needing more events like that, where you get dressed up, you have the opportunity to network, to meet people, but in a different setting that's not the typical Atlanta setting.
I'm with you.
No, I get that. I love that. What would you say for people that are wanting to create something similar to Pretty Fly Society? Like,
mm-hmm.
What advice would you give people trying to create an empire like you have?
Gotcha. I want to give you some concrete advice. What's going to take place is that the moment you decide to do something that you're interested in doing, everyone around you is going to flake because you're going to have to find out if they're really going to support it. And then what's going to happen is you're going to say, well, that's my friend who was supporting it, but they're really not supporting your thing.
Mm.
And you got to become honest with yourself and say, okay, maybe you are my friend, but I'm going to have to put you in that corner of my life because you're not going to be supportive of what I want overall.
Right.
And if you're not supportive of what I want overall, then you're not really supportive of me.
Mm.
Because anyone that loves you and really trying to be for you, they're not trying to take you away from what you love. They're trying to push you to it.
Yeah.
And if they don't have anything, they should be willing to come along until they figure it out. You know what I mean? So what I have for you all is stick to the plan. And it's tough. Like, I didn't just get here. Aubrey didn't know me for a long period of time. This just happened. You know what I mean? But she came around. She met me through my boy, Angelo. And I was like, oh, okay, this guy, you know, it's not like hanging on. It's not none of that. It's like, no, it's family. You know what I'm saying? Angelo's good people. You've been great people.
Thanks.
Angelo's my blood brother. I love Angelo to death. Turn me on to some more good people that are doing things. And that's where I wanted to be. Living in another era, the individuals weren't like-minded, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So trying to build and create with people who aren't on the same scale,
yeah,
it'll take long. But working with you, this is Breeze, and we didn't even practice this.
No, we didn't.
We just went right through
right
it and kicking ass right now.
No, I'm happy that we met. I'm happy that we're forming this, you know, amazing relationship. And I know that no matter what you do, no matter what I do, that we have each other's back.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, Pretty Fly Society. I am a part of the family.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome to the game.
Welcome to the society. Tell them where they can find you online.
So you can check out the company at Pretty Fly Society. That's Pretty Fly Society. Everything spelled correctly. You can check me out personally at Frank. That's FRANCK_MILLE. Thank you very much, Miss Aubrey Ebony, for having me on your podcast, girl.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my gosh. No, this experience has been so much fun. So much fun, guys. And I hope that you're, you know, enjoying my different guests. I hope that you're having a good time. And I hope that everything that you've learned and listened throughout this has been valuable, because I've given you so much insight and so many different people. All right. So my last interview of the night.
Yes.
It's like kind of like a guest of honor.
I feel like it's like a guest of honor.
We have a celebrity on our hands right now. Do we have an actor here?
I'd be acting an ass.
You'd be acting an ass.
No.
So
I appreciate it though.
I have here Angelo, and he is one of the stars of TV1's ATL Homicide. So tell me a little bit about how you get started in this acting world and what it's like being on this show.
It came from a period of time where I was kind of transforming and kind of understanding my purpose in life, understanding how I grew up, understanding just a culmination of all the events that take place in my life. And it was just a very huge aha moment, and those moments usually come from a place of rock bottom, a place of darkness, so I did have to experience that, but from it came a whole lot of understanding about my life and my vibration and my frequency. So getting started wise, I had to jump out there. I had to move to Atlanta. It was scary. From Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
I'm a Florida boy.
Yes.
And Atlanta embraced me. Atlanta treated me well. And it was a struggle. It was crazy. There was some sleeping on trains involved. There was some putting it all out there involved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I mean, God has definitely smiled upon it. I was doing something right, because here we are, being able to be in a position to alley-oop all the momentum of ATL Homicide and everything going on, and form relationships with Paul Mitchell and huge brands like that, and bring them to artists that we believe in. It's like real Robin Hood type, you know what I mean?
I love it. And, you know, you spoke a little bit about your journey, you know, becoming an actor, sleeping on trains and kind of relocating here to Atlanta. There's a lot of aspiring actors and actresses here in Atlanta. What is a piece of advice you could give them, you know, coming from your journey and your experience?
I would say two things. One thing is as relative to creatives everywhere. I would say create, don't wait. Hey, Chris, damn, man. My bad. We're just wrapping up. All the models are leaving and congratulating each other. Giving each other many congratulations. Yes.
Sorry.
Take two. For sure. It's just create, don't wait. Take the power into your own hands.
Yeah.
People don't understand the relationship, the dynamic, and the perspective of the gatekeepers, as they say. Whether you're a visual artist, so you're looking at museum curators, or you're looking at being picked up by, you know, hotels or galleries, whether you're an actor, you're looking to get cast in things, where you're a model looking to get cast, whether you're, and then you take creative and you broaden it, right? Because athletes are creatives. I like to box. You
me
can't
too.
Tell me.
Do
I
know.
Let me see. Let me see all the gravy kicking ass.
I'm trying.
You can't tell me. It's brutal and it's crazy and it's scientific, but you can get in a ring and make a triple platinum album out of a motherfucker. You know what
I'm
saying? And that's life. And so the basketball court as well. And you take the turn creative and you broaden it, you can just tap into the perspective of the gatekeepers that you're putting all the power in their hands.
Mm.
You're looking at them as if, oh, that casting director breaks me through, or this producer breaks me through, or this A&R, this is how it happens, or the radio station, or blah, blah, blah. It's not that. They need you.
Mm.
You're the source.
Yes.
You're the spark. You're the God flow.
Yeah.
They just know how to channel it through their systems and through their programs, but that's what suits do. That's what they are. They monetize what you've already been able to quantify.
I love that.
And now with it being a digital age and a social media age, mm-hmm. you can
do anything.
Quantify
and,
so easily. Yeah.
And get it out there.
You can quantify so easy. We've been telling models, and we can't wait to see what's going to come from the ideas that we've been transmitting to them, and we've been doing rehearsals for the last few months, mm-hmm. and we've really been encouraging them to think like Pretty Fly Society, too, and be the physical embodiment of what the Pretty Fly Society is and thinks, and it's create, don't wait. It's don't wait on New York Fashion Week to book you. Don't, you know what I mean? You, mm-hmm. If that's your process, cool, but go about it in a different way. All right, bro, you crushed it, man. Good stuff, man.
It's popular, guys.
I'll see y'all soon. Shout out to Brand Faith Ruby, by the way. They crush it. Awesome. If you're a model and you're not getting attention from New York Fashion Week because you don't meet their quote-unquote height requirements, you don't meet their aesthetic, you're not political enough, you're not in those communities, you're not schmoozing and hobnobbing with the right people,
yeah.
All right, bet. Start doing runways wherever you are. Mm-hmm. Do it Runway Friday or do it Runway Thursday. Get your social media following and build it that way. Get them trained to start seeing that. Do a runway in the middle of your neighborhood, right down your block. Do a runway at your job, your mm-hmm. 9-to-5, real
local
quick.
Churches, when, all
your
of
local
that
churches, mm-hmm. man. Find alleys to do it. Just get unconventional with it where it's like, oh, this person's undeniable.
Yeah.
And then the hashtag will trend. If you pair with somebody that knows what they're doing or you do your research, you do use the right hashtags, you post at the right times, you do some research, New York Fashion Week, you're going to get their attention.
Yeah,
or whatever Fashion Week or whatever magazine, Harper Magazine, whatever's happening, mm-hmm. you will manifest it that way. All right, boy. Much love.
No, I love that. You have to create your own doors. You have to create these doors because you're not always going to run into one that's opening for you in the time that you're needing. And so creating these own like avenues, creating your own media, like you talked about how there's quantities of ways that you can be discovered and explored out there and using that. I'm curious as to what is one of the most challenging parts about being an actor? For
just
you.
The process, just the... I would say for me and a lot of the peers I'm close with, the comrades that I study with and have gone to battle and war with, I would say some of the most nerve-wracking part of it is the anxiety you get from the lack of control you have in the process.
Okay.
You're waiting on somebody who's waiting on somebody who's waiting on somebody who's waiting on a room full of people who are waiting for the check to clear. And you might be the right person for the job, but then when the check cleared, it wasn't enough, so they changed your role to an old white lady, and now it's only 4 scenes, and that was a role that was going to break you through.
Predictability.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't control it. So, and you can't use that system of validation in your real life. You can't wait till, oh, I'm on TV now. I can show my family something. I can post something. They can tune in. You can't wait for that moment. You got to validate yourself every day you wake up.
Yeah.
And a part of that process is you got to walk in that room fulfilled.
Because
you got a casting director from... I just encourage you to tap into perspective. I'm telling you, perspective is everything. Like, I feel like I got a joke I say where I feel like 90% of dogs feel like they walk their humans twice a day as opposed to vice versa.
Mm.
So if you get into that bag, it's real tough.
Yeah.
So if you get into that bag of perspective, you'll see that casting director who's sitting there with the producers and the directors, who's, by the way, their bosses, they got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
That role might have been rewritten or recast on them 6 times, and now Tyler Perry's shooting this episode tomorrow, and Mr. Perry done told you, nah, remember it was a little girl, 8-year-old girl? Now I wanted to be a 6-year-old man. Yep. Can you go find somebody? And you're auditioning hundreds of people, and they want you to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing their job right, they're not posturing on you or me mugging you or acting stank on you, and if they are, they're doing that because they want you to be the one, because that's what Mr. Perry's going to do when you get the set.
Got it.
I encourage you to get into their perspective and understand they put their pants on one leg at a time, and they got a job to do. And you walk in the room, swag in there, do what you do, control
be
the room,
confident.
Ask questions when they say, you got any questions to ask? Or if you don't have no questions, be like, all right, nah, let's play.
I got this. Let's do it.
Let's
I'm
do
prepared.
It. And that, it might not be the first time, second or third time, but that energy oozes out of you.
Yeah.
It comes out of your pores when you're doing that audition.
No,
even if you're not in the room with them, because Atlanta's the type of market where we don't even get a lot of in-person auditions.
It's self-tape. A lot of eco-cast.
Yes, that's coming out. It's digital. That energy is coming out. Like, they can tell. They can tell that you're fulfilled because you've meditated, you've prayed, you've worked out, you've had sex, you've done whatever you're into, you've explored, you walked, you ate that well that day, that week, whatever's going on, and you're the best version of yourself walking in and out of that room, whether you get that role or not. And a lot of taking the power into your own hands, man. Understanding that, they're the gatekeepers, but you control your destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So get with your team and do some dope things with that momentum. And this has been a hell of a week, man. That's where we're at. That's what we're doing.
You guys have got to listen. Like, this is insight that you are not going to get anywhere else. No, you're not always going to get the opportunity to sit and listen to somebody who's gone through what you're going through right now and made it. You know, he's made it.
He's on the show. You can see him on TV. You know, so listen to what he's talking about because it's super valuable. But I wanted to ask one final question.
Of course.
If you could act in a movie with one actor, who would it be?
Oh, man. Damn, that's a tough question. One actor?
There's so many good ones out there.
There are, man. Of course, there's a lot of people you look up to. Denzel Washington is a huge automatic answer. Lawrence Fishburne is a beast.
Okay.
I'm a huge fan of what he did with the Thurgood Marshall performance. It was just him on stage for hours, and he embodied a hell of a story. he crushed it. Lawrence Fishburne is an animal, a beast. There's Jonah Hill. I look forward to working with him one day. Mm-hmm. But it's tough, man. To be honest, man, I answer that question with my homies. A lot of my homies that I worked with in Florida, man, I've been looking forward to working with them outside of class and grinding and, like, beating each other up, you know what I mean, acting-wise and within your craft. Sam Umo, Jared Michael, huge peer and brother and friend of mine. Jared Michael of the Booker Room ATL. That was my second piece of advice for actors. Go find a class.
Yes.
Go find a class. I'm telling you right
Perfect
now.
Perfect your craft.
Don't ask where do I get roles, how do I do such, such. Find a class because that's where you find your tribe.
Yeah.
You find other actors that know about agents that are looking for more talent. They know the agents that are scammy. They know the managers to stay away from. They know who just bought a camera. They know who's writing.
Yeah.
They know, oh, no, come meet. We meet up every Thursday at 6 p.m. and we write scripts and we're going to shoot them soon. And they know you. They know where to place you and they are and they believe in you.
Right.
So go to class. Find out the people you're going to go to war with and battle with every day, your battle buddies, and find that your tribe is going to be built. So Sam Umo, Marvin Lavalette, Neftali Hernandez, my brother Chris Diaz from ATL Homicide. But I guess that's a cheat code. I get to work with him often.
You know, going throughout this show, there's a huge piece that I didn't even talk about. Creative Canvas.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Creative Canvas is this. Creative Canvas was also one of the, is one of the partners, major partners of Boutique Fashion Week.
Yes.
So when Pretty Fly Society and Paul Mitchell, the school, sat down, and Frank Mill, co-founder and director of Pretty Fly Society and my branding manager, when we sat down with Paul Mitchell School and created Boutique Fashion Week, it only made sense to throw Creative Canvas into the mix.
Yeah.
Creative Canvas is where we originated our relationship with Paul Mitchell School.
Okay.
Via Creative Canvas in Charlotte. We did last year for February, All-Star Weekend in Charlotte. It crushed. Charlotte showed out. The whole Carolina showed out.
It's amazing.
We did Atlanta right here, Memorial Day last year. We did Atlanta here, Memorial Day 2019.
Okay.
We've done Miami for Art Basel. We've done
San Francisco,
y'all. New York. Yeah, Creative Canvas is coming to a city near you so soon.
Awesome.
So Creative Canvas was the perfect way to end Boutique Fashion Week, bring some cohesiveness to the whole Fashion Week experience. That was a huge goal of Frank and mine when we created Boutique Fashion Week, to take out the posturing and the edginess and all that and create real camaraderie that's really going to push the fashion industry forward.
Yes.
Get out of your shell. Get out of your posturing and really break bread and network and exchange energy and grow together.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Creative Canvas is a huge part of all of this. I appreciate you. Like,
appreciate you.
Amazing. Yes.
And you can find out more about Creative Canvas at CreateCan. That's CR8, like the number 8.
Yes.
CR8CAN. CreateCan, that's where you can find out more online, the IG, the social media. Ask some of your favorite artists about Creative Can.
They'll know what's up.
I'm telling you, our reputation is great because we don't milk artists. We don't take advantage of them. We know what they're looking for. We are artists.
Yes.
We know what it means when your rent's due and you got $30 left and you put everything you believe in this last show and you ain't selling the art and now you got to pack up and go home and figure out rent. We understand.
Yeah, we do.
So a lot of these artists sold a lot of art, 3, 4, 5, 6 pieces. They sold commission art. People commission certain pieces that they felt inspired by. People made great connections, great networking, and we Robin Hooded this shit. We put these artists next to Paul Mitchell School, next to Goren Brothers, next to major name brands. We're just bringing it full circle.
Amazing.
Yes, Lord. I want to give a special shout out to my sister, Audrey. She traveled all the way from Cali to be here.
Aww.
It's the first time she's been able to witness us doing something like this.
Yes.
She's been hearing about it for years, seeing the videos for years.
Yes.
And as an artist, she's rebranding herself. So it's dope that we're going to be able to be a part of that.
No, I love that.
And that's what kind of week it's been, man. It's been emotional. It's been amazing. I've almost cried like 80 times.
Aww.
Like, it's just legit. It's legit. It's awesome. Like, this is what you dream about.
Yeah.
This is what fulfills. This is what feeds your soul.
Yes.
Getting validated through major castings and being in cool movies and going to Sundance is awesome via the craft, but this is awesome via your soul. Like, this validates your soul, not just your craft. So
I know you got to go. So before you head out, tell the people, the listeners, the viewers, where they could find you on social media.
Cuba God, CubaGawd. That's all the little freaking social medias, Instagram being our favorite little freaking social media of the moment.
Perfect.
Pretty Fly Society, that's the set, that's the mothership, that's the team, that's the mindset, that's La Familia, that's Omerta, that's everything. So, Boutique Fashion Week, spelled with V's.
Instead of U's.
Yeah, it's
you guys will know.
Edgy.
You'll hear it on all the marketing.
Chic, yeah. You'll see it soon. Shout out to Pretty Fly Society. Shout out to Paul Mitchell School.
Yes.
Shout out to Gorham Brothers. Shout out to Georgia Hollywood Review TV. All of the major partners that help us bring this together.
Amazing.
Pretty Fly Society, Cuba God. That's where you can find out more about us.
All right.
Yes. And shout out to you, Aubrey Ebony.
Thank you.
The model counselor, man. You did a lot for this energy here.
We
had a lot of new models. We had a lot of experienced models. Iris Olivia was our runway director.
Amazing. I love Iris.
She don't play no games.
None.
But you were able to set the tone emotionally, mentally. Make sure you stay in your game. Make sure you don't let this crack you or overbear
100%.
You. We're here to have fun and show out. You do a huge part of that
tone.
Thank you
so much. I really appreciate it.
The Model Counselor Podcast. She knows what she's talking about, y'all. I'm telling you, pay attention, man.
Pay attention, guys.
For real.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aubrey. Yes. Thank you. Yep.
No problem.
Much love. Yes. Thank you.
This has been a really long week, a really long show, a really long day. But you know what? We made it through. I am super excited and happy to have been a part of this. It was amazing. I'm grateful for all the people that I met, all the designers I got to talk to, the models I got to talk to. Like, they are here to be a part of this world. And I love that. Everybody brought their A game, and I am here to support, guys. Thank you for listening. This is the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your host, Aubrey Ebony. This is season 2, episode 4. Thank you for listening.